Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4 tonight. And Philippians 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 4. And if you're able, let's stand together for a moment in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. Just a few verses here. Philippians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, I've heard that quoted so many times in my life that I never heard anybody give any background or any context for what's that about. What's that supposed to mean? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. These verses have a very specific meaning and a place in our doctrine, but we really need to understand where that comes from. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I've heard that verse quoted so many times in my life, absolutely an obscure verse of scripture out of context without any, what's that mean? What's that got to do with? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And if the Lord would be my helper tonight, I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the subject of understanding the secret to having the peace of God or enjoying the peace of God. What is the peace of God? What's that even mean? Because that's such a broad thought, such a broad idea. What was the writer talking about? What was Paul telling the Philippians here about the peace of God? But first you pray with me. Lord, I love you. I sure do want to say thank you for speaking to my heart. And Father, we need you tonight more than we need breath. And if you would see fit, Lord, would you just meet with us? Would you encourage our hearts? And Lord, let the word of God go forth in power. Lord, whatever you see fit to do, would you do it? And I just want to tell you, I love you, Lord. I'm not worthy of anything, and I'm nobody, and I'm nothing. But I sure do thank you for stirring my heart, speaking to me. Lord, would you help us to glean, Lord, this incredibly wonderful truth, a promise to your church, to your people. Lord, you help us tonight, and we'll do the best we know how to give you glory, to give you honor in Jesus' sweet holy name. Amen. Amen. You have a lot to learn about me personally, my personality, who I am, what I'm about, how I operate, and all those things. And you'll learn, if you don't kill me first, you'll learn. And I've had people describe me as being unique, and I think they were trying to be kind. But there's a lot that goes into all this. I was explaining to Brother Ed the other day, sometimes before church. If you don't know this, you need to know this. One of the worst times for you to ever just go up and chit chat with a preacher is right before he's getting ready to stand up and preach. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason sometimes that I'll be aloof before service. And maybe you won't see me and in revival meetings, especially. I've had preachers just standing up there just about to go into some kind of fits because I ain't nowhere to be seen. And that's because before service, I try to be so laser focused on what I've got in my heart so that I just don't get distracted by anything. And I don't ever mean to be short with anybody. Don't ever take me wrong before service. If I'm not paying good attention to you, it's because I'm trying to keep my mind focused on where it needs to be. And I'm not like a lot of preachers. I am not your hero. I'm not Superman. And I love you enough, folks. Listen to me. I don't want you to have to be dependent on me
for your walk with God. Sure, you need a pastor. Sure, sheep need a shepherd. Sure, you need a leader. But I know a lot of pastors tonight, and I'm not trying to judge them or be ugly to them, but I know a lot of pastors tonight that, Miss Lori, you would think they want that congregation to be dependent on them for every little thing. And I think that's probably an insecurity, and I'm not trying to psychoanalyze anybody. But I want you to know you don't need me to walk with God. But what I desire to do is I don't desire to lord over God's heritage. I desire to teach you how to walk with God. So when I'm not there to fight for you, you can fight for yourself. Hey, listen, thank God for the people in the past in my life that taught me some things that when they were no longer there, that I had something I could fall back on, that they showed me, that they took the time to teach me and help me. And they're not there anymore. Hey, some of the great men of God that I've had the privilege of walking with, and I'm not that old, Brother Ed, contrary to popular belief, but some of the great men of God I've walked with are not there anymore. Some of them are not able to preach anymore. Some of them are not able to talk to me anymore. My daddy's not there anymore. And those older men of God, as they pass on, we've got to leave something behind with somebody else. And we failed in our ranks. That's part of the reason we're not bringing up young preachers in the church. We failed, and I don't want to fail. I want to teach you to be as good at walking with God as I could possibly be walking with God. That don't intimidate me for you to be spiritual. That don't intimidate me for you to know how to pray. It don't intimidate me for you to know how to study your Bible and understand the doctrines of the Word of God. Now, rejoice. Rejoice. The word rejoice here in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. By definition, the word rejoice is a salutation that is looking at someone and saying, be full of cheer, or be happy, or be glad, or be well. It's really wishing someone well. There's an importance for the children of God to rejoice always. And he said, and again, I say rejoice. We ought to be happy. We ought to be full of joy. And we ought to spread some joy, and we ought to be able to give some joy to other people. Have you ever met someone in your life that it just seemed like they were such a blessing to you, that you were just blessed to get around them? They uplifted your spirits. Listen, I did not know Dr. Whitted. I really never spent any time with him. He was a precious man, and he came to encourage me once. I was preaching several years ago, and he came to visit in the service. Probably one of the sweetest, most humble men I've ever met in my life. And he made an impression on my wife and I just by being so sweet and such a humble man. I knew a man in Seagrove, North Carolina, same way. That man was just precious, and he was special. And God's children need to rejoice and to be happy and be full of cheer and full of gladness. There's already enough and an overabundance of darkness in this world. There's enough despair to go around without us adding to it. The church is called to be salt. It's called to be light. And when we get a spirit of criticism or harsh judgmental attitudes and a constant fault finding, I'll promise you that is a satanic trick of the devil to rob you of your peace and rob you of your joy. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Hey, listen, we're supposed to provoke one another, but not to fury and not to anger and not to provoke one another to fight, but we're to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Does it not make you want to love more when you're around somebody that's loving you? I mean, that's just common sense, ain't it? And we ought to love folks in such a way that we provoke them to want to love. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't get this wrong. Don't get this wrong. He's not saying so much the more that you need to go to church more, although that wouldn't hurt any of us, and I know it wouldn't. That'd probably be a good thing. But they couldn't go to church more. The New Testament church in the book of Acts met from house to house daily. They met every day. Some of them didn't go home. They spent a lot of time together. So what is it he is trying to tell them to do more of as you see the day approaching? Exhorting one another. That's what he's talking about. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The word exhort literally means to call near. That is to invite, to comfort, to encourage one another. That's what we're doing here on a Wednesday night service. We've come together. We've called an assembly so we could love on one another and comfort one another and encourage one another and be a help to one another. Listen, my wife, several long years ago, 25 years ago or more, I was involved with a couple of preachers, and I love them, and they're good men, and they mean well, but I got to spending time around these two individual men, and I'm just being honest. I'm not being ugly with them. I'm being honest. Those men had such a critical spirit about everything. They criticized everybody. I don't care what it was. If you give them a $100 bill, they'd have said, I wish you'd have given me 5 20s. It didn't matter what it was. They were critical of everything. And my wife very humbly looked at me one day and said, honey, you're going to have to stop hanging around with them guys. You're coming home with that spirit on you. It is contagious, you know. Misery does love company. And that gets contagious. I'm so thankful. I've noticed some of the folks here in the church, and I wouldn't embarrass anybody, but I've noticed some folks, my wife's noticed some folks that have tried to clue us in to a lot of things, or just of understanding of different things and different natures. Just, I'm not talking about getting in somebody's business. That's not what I'm talking about. Just trying to educate us. And in their doing so, Brother Ed, I was conscious of the fact, and my wife was conscious of the fact, that they never said one bad word about anybody. I like that. I think that's good character. I think that's good character. I understand. Look, I live in the same world you live in. And there are times that, just for the sake of honesty, that some things you really have to be honest about. But, you know, your mama always said, if you can't say something nice, keep your mouth shut. That's a good practice. And I realize there's times that you have to say things, but there's a whole lot of times we don't. We just want to. And that's part of our human flesh. We got to tamp that thing down. And to exhort means to comfort, to encourage one another. And I see a lot of this stuff, these people with the critical attitudes and just all time picking a fight. There's a group of people, and wherever you see them in the country, they're spoiling for a fight. I don't care who it is. They're against the Catholics, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, whoever it is, but they're going to pick a fight with them. They're just ready to have a fuss fight over the scripture. Brother, that's not how we win people to God. That is not how, it's like a lot of folks on Facebook, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this because it's the truth. There's a lot of folks that'll make statements, and they're not helping anybody. They're not leading anybody to Christ. They're not leading anybody to truth. Miss Judy, the only thing they're doing is pandering to the people that already believe what they believe anyway. You're not helping anybody. I could get on social media, or I could go on the website, and I could say a whole lot of things and pander to the people who already believe what I believe. But brother, all that does is stir people up, but that does not draw anybody to Christ. I believe with every fiber of my being that the Authorized King James Bible is the Word of God for English speaking people. I've got friends that don't believe that. And I'm sorry. I think they've been given a counterfeit. But this book is the Word of God for English speaking people. My wife and I were sitting listening to the radio years and years ago on a Sunday morning, and we were listening to a young preacher preach about the Authorized King James Bible, and he was so mean in what he was saying before it was over with, I was ready to reach through that radio and strangle him. He wasn't helping anybody, and he wasn't helping our cause. He was just starting a fight. And I want to say this tonight, and I say this in love. When you see these mean preachers in America today, that's nothing more than a cheap counterfeit for the anointing of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. They don't have the touch of God on their life, so the only thing they can do is just be mean. And we've reached a place in America where that's become entertaining to people, and they'll go to meetings just to see what's that fellow going to say next. Verse number five. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That's not talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus or the first advent of the second coming, the rapture of the church. That's not what that verse means when it says the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand in this verse of scripture means that he is close. He is nearby. He is ready, willing, and able to help you. Let your moderation be known unto all men. What is the word moderation? When it comes to your actions, your reactions, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. However, moderation means a balance, a restraint of violent passions. It means a calmness of mind. Can I say this in the common vernacular, what that word moderation means? It means don't freak out. That's what a lot of folks do. They're so emotional when they get pushed in some direction, they absolutely lose it and they lose their balance. They lose their self-restraint and they make violent moves one way or another and they're not calm in their mind. Let your moderation be known unto all men. I was preaching this past Easter, Resurrection Sunday morning. I was preaching in a city in Oklahoma, and we were downtown in Cushing, Oklahoma, and I was up just preaching like a wild man outside. They were having outside. It was sunrise service, and the parking lot was full of folks, and they had a trailer there and put a pulpit up on it and a sound system, and I'm up there preaching like a wild man. And brother, out of the corner of my eye, something, and it's got to be pretty much in front of me. I ain't really got no corner. But there's some guy come around the corner, brother. And I ain't always been Sunday school material. I just ain't. But I can't tell you a time in my life I ever toted a cussing like I got that Sunday morning. That fellow walked up to that platform I was standing on, and I'm talking about big boy language. I'm talking about long words. Coming out of his mouth, absolutely cussed me. I mean, everything he could say to me. And it took everybody by surprise. Well, the pastor of that church, I watched him. And I was trying to pay attention to him. And for a minute or two, I just stopped and I watched that pastor. Now listen, I know that pastor had spent several years in the penitentiary and he wasn't afraid of this old boy. That he walked up to him and there was about three or four other men kind of circled around that old boy and he didn't have the good sense to shut up. He just kept on cussing, kept on. I mean, he's yelling at the top of his lungs. Everything he can give me, he's given me. And I noticed after a minute or two, the pastor had his hand up on that guy's shoulder and he was talking to him and he was trying to talk him down off that ledge. And I realized right that moment it would have been real easy for me or for anybody else to have got off balance, wouldn't it? It'd have been real easy because some of y'all done thought of what you'd done in that situation. And I'd thought of it too, but that wasn't what we was going to do. This is the cause of Christ. This is going out live over there. And this situation got calmed down to this guy finally just calming down and walking away. Didn't have to call the law. Didn't none of them fellas have to pull their guns out? They were circling around him. He had no idea. He just didn't know. But he walked away. You know why? Because that pastor, Miss Lord, let his moderation be known unto all men. Well, he was balanced in how he dealt with that situation. Don't let the devil push you off balance. I realize we live in a wicked, sin-cursed world. I realize there's people out there that hate us. They hate our guts. They'll hate you for the cause. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Where does the peace of God come from? Well, I have the Holy Ghost. I have the indwelling Holy Ghost of God. Therefore, I have the peace of God. No, that's not true. And that's not the context of this scripture, and that's not what this said. Just because you have the Holy Ghost of God. And I wrestled with this, Brother Ed, for a long time, really not understanding, because I would face situations in my life that I didn't have peace. I've been in a whole lot of places I didn't have peace before. And couldn't figure out why I didn't have peace. Well, now I know, and I'm going to help you understand that. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what the first word of that verse is? And. That means there was something before that. What was before that? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Where does the peace of God come from? It comes from trusting the one you talk to about it. When you pray in earnest, and you know God heard your prayer, then you can have peace that passes all understanding. The peace to know that, Miss Judy, I've already discussed this with God, and I've heard from heaven, and God's met with me, and God let me in the Holy Ghost of God pour my heart out to Him, and God has comforted me with the Holy Spirit of God over this specific thing that I'm dealing with. God has given me assurance. He's got it covered. I was preaching in prison in West Virginia several years ago, and there was an old boy that was a Satanist high priest, and some of his minions came to service one night, and they came to try to disrupt the service. They came to try to cause trouble, and he stood up in the service and started to cause trouble. Well, there was this old boy there, and honest for the Lord, this old boy was sitting up in kind of a strange place, and he was near where I was. And I'm pretty sure he wasn't in there for staying up too late studying his Sunday school lesson. He said, "Preacher, don't you worry. We got a plan. We'll deal with this." Well, brother, I trust God, but I sure am glad that old boy had a plan. I'm just going to be honest with you. I wasn't wanting to have to fight that satanic cult in that prison. And I'm sure glad them old country boys in there had a plan. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when you're facing a situation that you've gone to God with all of your heart and poured your heart out and said, "Lord, here's what I'm facing." And God meets with you in your prayers and fills you with faith and fills you with the Spirit of God and says, "Child, don't you worry. I got a plan." That, Brother Ed, is what gives you the peace of God, knowing that God has told you He's got a plan. There's a difference in you knowing God can take care of something and God telling you, "I'm going to take care of something." That's where the peace comes from, Miss Lord. The peace that you know you have heard from heaven. We've all got problems. Every one of us have hardships and heartaches. And all of us have difficulties and questions and confusions in life. Do you know what the major difference in people are? It's not the things they're going through. It's how they deal with them. And people who live their lives spun up tighter than a banjo string, full of drama, we call them drama queens, ready to fly apart like a dollar watch. You mark it down. It's because they have no peace with God. They do not have the peace of God. And can I say this? That don't necessarily mean they're lost. But it does mean they fail to communicate with the one that can fix the problem. And there's a breakdown in communication. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, church, is the secret to the peace of God is in your prayer life. The secret to having and walking in the peace of God is your prayer life. That you know that no matter what you face today, you've talked to your Heavenly Father and you've poured your heart out to Him and you've explained to Him. I've told God time and time again, I ain't smart enough to pastor a church. And if God's going, if anything's going to get done, He's going to have to be the one to do it. There's so many things in these past days, in the last 2 or 3 months of Sister Lori and in our life, so many things we had to say, God, I'm telling you, Lord, you're going to have to do it. I can't do it, but if you'll do it, we'll give you the keys. We'll get in the trunk. We'll let you drive. Just go where you want to. The peace of God is a direct result of your prayer life. Can I tell you something profound tonight? You know why you got so many whiners? You know why you got so many drama queens around? Because it's easier to pout than it is to pray. It's easier to whine and complain and be critical and have that bad spirit on you and just be telling everybody all your problems. I know some people in my life. I know them and I love them and I care about them. But you can be, I've seen them and I've introduced them to folks, and in about 5 minutes, the new folk they've been introduced to knows their whole life story because they just stand there and just blubber it all out to them, every problem they ever had, every heartbreak. You know what? You know what's wrong with that person? You know why they're so dramatic about all that? Because they don't have the peace of God to rule in their heart, to help them be balanced in their heart. Listen, if you know God's already took care of something, then why can you not just rest in the fact that I done talked to God about it? I don't have to tell everybody else. My mama was famous for saying, you don't have to tell everything. And you don't have to tell everything to everybody. What you'll wind up doing, you'll wind up dragging other folks down, and it's a trap. It's something Satan sets, and it's demonic to get you in the wrong frame of mind. There's a demonic spirit, and there is a spirit which means the disposition of your mind. Listen, I don't want to face, this life's tough enough without us coming in here and discouraging one another. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to try to help one another and bless one another. And listen to me. I love you. I care about you. I want you to have my phone number, ladies. I want you to have my wife's phone number. You listen to me. If you got a need, you're hurting, there are sometimes there's nothing like just having somebody to just pour your heart out to. That's important, and I know that. And as your pastor and your pastor's wife here, I promise you, God being our helper, we'll be there for you. And you need to pour your heart out and you're hurting and you need to talk to somebody about something. That's a good part of helping you sometimes is just to be a good listener. Sometimes we just need to learn to keep our mouth shut and just listen to what people are saying. And I found in my own life sometimes that it helps me if I just got somebody to just tell things to. And being a preacher and being in the position I'm in, there's a lot of times I just don't have just anybody I can just talk to. And sometimes I do find myself blubbering a little bit when I get around somebody that I do feel comfortable that I can talk to. And it's all right. And sometimes we need somebody we can just share our burdens with. But that's different from this drama. I'm just wanting to tell everybody every little old thing. You know, it's just like some lady calling up the preacher, you know, and she said, preacher, she said, now I'm not talking about nobody. And she said, I'm not running nobody down. She said, but I just wanted to tell you, preacher, just so we could pray, cause I know you pray and we're going to pray together for the, but sister so-and-so, You ain't gonna believe what she's done. I mean, it's the biggest mess you've ever seen. Ain't nobody even heard about this but me, but I'm gonna tell you, this sister's in a mess, but I'm gonna tell you, and you're gonna help me pray for her. And said, don't you worry, preacher. I've talked to some other people and they're praying too. Y'all know better than that, right? Y'all know better than that. And I shouldn't have to tell Baptist people that, but I've met some of them before. But I'm going to tell you what, when you're hurting and you need to talk to somebody, I'll be there for you, but save your drama for your mama. I don't sign on for that. And I found out as a pastor and preaching the length of time I've been preaching, brother, Satan, the devil, will send people just to aggravate the daylights out of you, and they don't want help. And they're never going to get help. All they're wanting to do is complain to somebody. They don't want no help. Boy, it takes discernment to know what that is and how that is. But I'm telling you that there's a breakdown in some people's communication. The peace of God is a result of your prayer life. Prayer's hard work. And it's a whole lot easier to dispute than it is to pray. But I think with a little bit of Christian maturity, and I think with a little bit of discipline in our life, that we need to figure out that, yeah, sometimes it helps to talk to somebody, but I think it would do us a whole lot of good to just be in a real good place of talking to the one that can do something about it, or talking to the one that can really fix the situation. I may have told you this, but several years ago, Sister Laura and I were living in the dungeon back in my mama's house in North Carolina. We were not sure what to do, which way to go. We lived in a fifth wheel camper, and fifth wheel camper was parked in Tucson, Arizona. And I noticed that the axle on that thing was bowed, and I thought, man, my trailer's fixing to break. It's going to lay down somewhere on the highway and we're going to be in trouble. And I just got so discouraged, Brother Ed, and I didn't know what to do. We had a big old dually truck, and it needed tires. And, you know, when you're buying that many tires at a time, it's a different world than a big old truck. And we didn't hardly have two nickels to rub together at the time. And I just got so discouraged. And I finally got to a place where it was like God had brought me to a place. He said, son, are you tired of pouting about this? Because if you'd talk to me about this, I'd fix it for you. Miss Laura, I remember that blue chair, that rocking chair that was in the basement there in the dungeon in our little living room. And right there in that little old blue chair, I was just walking by one day, Brother Ed. I wasn't going praying on my mind, but I was just so broken down in my heart. Sister, I couldn't even hardly take another step. I just fell down right there on my knees. Buried my face in that chair, and I began to pour my heart out to God. And you know, after a few minutes, God, the Holy Ghost, showed up, encouraged my heart, spoke to my heart, and told me what I need to do, which way I need to go. And I got up out of that chair that day, and I told Miss Laura, God spoke to me. And I said, you just mark her down. You go ahead and get ready. We're going to Montana. We're going to Montana. I didn't have money for tires for that truck. But when God settled that in my heart and I realized by faith that the peace of God ruled in my heart, this is the right thing for me to do. It wasn't just a day or two. A lady got a dividend off of an investment and gave me a check for enough money to buy tires for that truck. And somebody gave me gas money, and it was like just a snowball effect. Things started to come together, and God started to put that thing together. And I took my wife, and we took that old Dodge Dually, and we headed to Tucson, Arizona. And we got to Tucson, and me and the pastor of the church there, Brother Bill Howard from down in South Carolina, Brother Bill Howard, got with me. We got to looking under that camper trailer, and Brother Bill said, there ain't nothing wrong with that axle. He says, just got camber in it. He said, that's just so it'll have some give. There ain't nothing wrong with that trailer. You roadworthy right now. The next morning, we hooked onto that camper, and we headed north. We started going up through some places, and it just seemed like God was just with us every step of the way, and it was just right, brother. It was just right. And my wife wasn't comfortable pulling that 35-foot trailer with that truck, and she was always uncomfortable about trying to park. And I've said this before, it just seemed like every time we'd get ready to pull over for the night and we'd get ready to go into one of those rest areas that the Lord had put it on the hearts of two of them truckers just to pull out side by side and make a few more miles and make a big parking space so Miss Lori wasn't uncomfortable and parking that thing. And God just took care of us up the road. And we got to Missoula, Montana, and I realized there ain't nobody in Montana wants me. There ain't nobody here even likes me, I think. I guess we're going to be missionaries to the rest area on Interstate 90 in Missoula, Montana. I called KOA Campground and wanted to know what it cost to park there, and I couldn't explain to them I wasn't wanting to buy a piece of property. I just wanted to rent it by the month. We can't afford to do that, and I had one man that I loved. Brother Keith and Miss Janet. I didn't want to try to make anything that wasn't anything. And I called Brother Keith. And I said, Brother, I was just wondering out there near where you're at. I said, do you happen to know of a place where we could rent a place to park our camper? This was in May. It was in the month of May. Brother Keith, on the other end of that line, said, Preacher, he said, bring that thing to my house. We got a great big fenced-in lot out here for you. And he said, Preacher, me and my wife's been waiting since December hoping y'all come out here and preach to us. But before any of that happened, are you understanding the peace of God was ruling in my soul because I had heard from God and I knew that was the right thing to do. It wasn't a question. It wasn't a big question mark. Are we doing the right thing? God told me that was the right thing. Therefore, the peace of God ruled in my heart. Do you know why the peace of God does not rule in a lot of people's heart today? You don't know what God said, because you ain't talked to Him. And there's some times that I try to talk to God, and it's not that He just, gives me great big long paragraphs and long sentences, but there's so many times in my life where God just loves on me and holds me and lets me know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Some of you sitting here tonight, you're hurting, you're grieving, and you got more questions than you got answers. But it's okay if God don't give you all the answers as long as He's going to take care of it. What difference does it make how He takes care of it as long as He's going to take care of it? I used to be in the horse business. I went to a sale, went to a registered sale, and I was dumb as a stump. I don't know if I'd ever even been to a registered sale. They sell horses cost more than the house I lived in. And this old boy, he came out of questionable circumstances in the big city and came with a whole lot of money, and he just bought a big ranch. Matter of fact, the Roaring River Ranch. He bought that ranch and he asked me, he said, will you go to the sale with me and help me buy some horses? I said, be glad to, love to, be a lot of fun. We're going to a register, so I can't afford to go to no register sale, but I'll go with him. This guy got deep pockets. We got to that sale, and we picked out a couple of quarter horses we thought was good riding horses, good well-broke horses, well-mannered horses. And we got ready before the sale started, and we went in the sale barn, sat down on a seat, and he looked at me. He said, now, when them horses come through, he said, you buy them for me. I said, well, it's an auction. I said, I don't know what they're going to sell for. He said, I don't care what they sell for. He said, you buy them for me. He had pockets deep enough to back up what he said. and I bought them for him. And I felt like a big shot, and all my buddies thought I was a big shot because I was bidding on them high-dollar horses. What do you care how God fixes your problem? If He'll speak to your heart and just give you peace that He's going to take care of it, then it's done. He's going to take care of it. Hey, He's the one writing the check on this deal, not me. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You want to aggravate my wife? I mean, just aggravate the daylights out of my wife. Brother, I'm just telling you right now how you can aggravate my wife. Just turn the news on. Just turn the news on. She don't want to hear it. I'm not a legalist. I'm a Bible literalist. I believe there's some things David said, I'll set no evil thing before my eye, and he meant what he said. And I believe as far as Fox News and social media, there's a whole lot of those things that do have a proper place in life. With someone who has enough discipline to know when to turn it off. I'll say that again, make sure you understand what I'm saying. There's a whole lot of entertainment in this world, including Instagram, Facebook, and all that kind of stuff, that does have a place in this world. And I don't want to live under a rock, not know what's going on anywhere. But that's for someone who does have the discipline to know when to turn it off. But when you're filling your head full of this world rather than the things of God, and I mean you're filling your head full of junk, I promise you that you're doing God and you're doing yourself a great injustice. Because one day you'll have to pay the price, and one day you'll have to face the consequences. I've dealt with too many folks in church in too many years. They watched every kind of trash on television. They listened to music they ought not have been listening to. And listen, I ain't getting any business, okay? I ain't getting any business. But if you think you're going to just ride down the road and you're going to be listening, I'm laying here with Susie while Sally's on my mind, and you're going to be full of the Holy Ghost, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You need to fill your heart and your mind full of holy things, of godly things. And I'll just be honest with you. My wife and I have got to a place in our life where I try to be well balanced about those things. There's not just a whole lot this world's got that's entertaining to me anymore. I do want to fill my heart full of good things. And I want to feel my, I'm not just talking about Brother Ed, that these wild, woke, liberal, green, weenie, tree-hugging, stump, smooching, dirt worshipers in this world today. You know, I'm sending you positive energy and all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. Brother, the Lord has called us to be salt and light. And if our light's darkness, then how dark is it out? We got to be light. And and a whole lot of this thing of walking with God, ladies, hear me, hear what I'm saying. It's a whole lot like an old-fashioned bank account. I'm talking about one of them my first savings account, when I walked in and put in a little deposit on the savings account, there's a girl behind the counter took an ink pen and wrote that down in a book, handed me my book back. You didn't know I was that old, did you? There's a whole lot of spiritual things like a bank account. You ain't getting nothing out of it because you ain't putting nothing into it. But the more you put into it, the more they'll be there for God to draw from when you need it. And I'm trying to lead you. I'm trying to teach you that your prayer life Your fellowship with God is key. It's paramount to you ever enjoying the peace of God in your life. When these men in the church a couple of days ago came to me and told me the church had voted and issued the call to pastor this church, Miss Stephanie, I did not have to say, I'll go home and pray about it and let you know in 30 days. Why? Because the peace of God ruled in my heart. But God had already told me that if this church called me, I belong here. That's why I didn't have to go home and worry about it and wonder about it. And listen, if this thing blows up in 2 weeks and every one of y'all get mad at me and throw songbooks at Sister Lori, you ain't going to throw songbooks, are you? Please. I can still face this thing knowing that I'm squarely in the middle of the will of God. Absolutely. Why? Because of the peace of God that rules in my soul. Now, I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know what you need. I don't know what you're looking to God for tonight. But if you're able, let's just make our way around this altars and the front seats. Ladies, if you want to be on this side, and fellas on this side over here. If you're not really able to get in the altar, I understand that. Just park yourself on one of those first couple of pews. We're just going to love on each other and meet each other's needs. God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray for one another. There's folks in this church got real needs. And we got neighbors, friends, all these requests that you guys made. Because of Christ.